and 107.5 FM, W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Jurors returning a split verdict today in the trial of Sean Diddy Combs, acquitting him on the most serious charges of sex trafficking and racketeering. The jury finding Combs guilty of prostitution-related charges. ABC legal analyst Brian Buckmeyer says his attorneys are calling for his release.
At the beginning of this case, when Sean Combs was charged with sex trafficking, that is a charge that has the assumption that someone should be held pending prosecution. That assumption is gone now because he's been found not guilty of those two charges.
A bail hearing set for later this afternoon. Attorney Douglas Wigdor is Cassie Ventura's attorney and reacted to the verdict.
Of course, we would have liked to have seen a conviction on the sex crimes in RICO, but we understand beyond a reasonable doubt is a high standard, and we're just pleased that he still faces substantial jail time.
Combs faces up to 20 years in prison. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Supreme Court officially ruled that an 1849 law does not ban consensual abortion in the state. Justice Rebecca Dallet wrote the opinion for the 4-3 majority, saying that years of legislation governing how and when abortions may be performed were clearly meant as a substitute for the 19th century near-total ban on abortion. The lawsuit challenging the intent of the 1849 law was filed by Attorney General Josh Call after the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe v. Wade, which triggered an abortion ban under that law in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Realtors Association released its monthly report for May, showing a drop in home sales and increase in home prices from the same time last year. According to the report, home sales through the first 5 months of 2025 fell by 2.7% compared to the same period last year. The median home price also rose by nearly 7% to $315,000. While the number of existing homes for sale dropped by about 1.5%, the total number of listings rose by 8.5% with over 22,000 homes on the market. Barron Electric Cooperative has announced a $1,000 donation to Marshfield Medical Center Rice Lake Hospice. Organization officials say the funding for their donation came from unclaimed cashback credits from former members through the Federated Youth Foundation. The foundation has specific rules about how the cashback credit funds can be used, so the cooperative was unable to use them to reduce rates. Instead, the cooperative chose to make the donation as a sign of support for the critical work that Rice Lake Hospice does for area residents. Nurses and advanced practice providers at Ascensia Health and Aspirus facilities in Superior and Duluth are set to go on strike starting next week. Nurses at a number of area hospitals, including St. Mary's and St. Luke's, will officially begin their strike on July 8th. Advanced practice providers at Ascensia Health will begin their strike 2 days later on July 10th. Organizers say the strikes are based on unfair labor practices, including chronic understaffing and the failure of the healthcare organizations to take their input on patient care needs into consideration. For WLAK News, I'm James Kelly.
The crew in New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers and the Mets in a doubleheader today after being rained out last night in Queens. The Brewers coming off a 4-3 loss in extra innings to the last place Rockies on Sunday. Pat Murphy.
You know, things have been going our way a bunch. We haven't had games like this in a while, so it's a good reminder that you can lose these games.
Basketball, the number one topic in NBA free agency. So far, the Bucks waiving Damian Lillard.
Over $110 million over the next couple years. That means the Bucks are going to have $20 million on their books for the next 5 years. That is a lot of dead money, but that shows these level of pressure that this Milwaukee Bucks team is under to go out and get a guy, Miles Turner, who can help them right now. Now, the Bucks still have a lot of things to sort out. They still need point guard help. Kevin Porter Jr. is not really an ideal long-term option as a starting point guard. You'd like to get another fix there, but this does give the Bucks some additional flexibility to go out and make more moves to add to this roster because they did lop off a whole bunch of money from their books.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of an isolated thunderstorm later this afternoon into tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today. We'll get to 85 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, down to 64 tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it's 83.
Can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why? great.
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at NHTSA.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pat Kreitlow.
On Thursday, I put another candle on the old birthday cake, and I do mean old, plus Sherita Booker, Chad Holmes, Todd Alba, and Sean O'Malley.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
From the Civic Media World headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Alba Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Alba.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Alba, along with our producer and engineer, the fantastic Mr. Aaron Zommers, on the board. It is 6 minutes past the hour of 2 o'clock on this Wednesday, July the 2nd, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is...
Hump Day!
That's right. On this date, in 1776, the Continental Congress assembled, voted to cast their votes for independence from King George III. Hitherto an unknown fact, the declaration wasn't signed until the 4th, but the vote actually happened today. A lot of people thought, John Adams thought July 2nd would be Independence Day, but no. The marketers said, it sounds better on the 4th. So that's what happened. Welcome, everybody. Glad to have you here on a Wednesday edition. Big show today. First and foremost, strike up the band at the top of the show. Here we go. Tomorrow, it is Pat Kreitlow's birthday, America. And here to celebrate with us a day early. Look at that. He even has his own little bobblehead thing. Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, every morning from 6 until 9 a.m. Joining us from beautiful Lake Wissota in northern Wisconsin. And the senior advisor to the Lincoln Project, joining us from the Tony suburbs of Washington, D.C., Mr. Trigvi Olson. Patrick, happy birthday, my friend, a day early.
Thank you. I am speechless. This is such a nice surprise that you thought of this.
Zommers?
I thought it was going to be less of a nice surprise because I thought when you were saying it is the anniversary on 1776, July 2nd, I thought you were going to say, and the very next day, July 3rd, Patrick Kreitlow was born.
No, that would make me older than Trigvi, and that's not going to stand.
Well, you only turned 72 once.
That's right.
Oh, my God. He had his big 6-0 last year, so he was very public about that. And
he was.
Yeah, and doing fantastic. Still, again, to make the point, Pat Kreitlow has double the hair that Trigvi and I have combined because Trigvi is shaved and mine is quickly falling out. So,
well, you know, we all got to have something. I have no mechanical skills to speak of whatsoever. I have no athletic ability, so I got hair.
Well, so you got talent. Me, you got talent, nice. Kid.
Would you like an update on the big game? I am such a multitasker.
I know you are. Trigvi's got his phone. He forgot to silence his phone. By the way, I've lost my phone here at the start of the show. I have no idea.
You lost your phone.
Yeah,
but go ahead. His ringer's on.
I know.
Let me update you on the big game from just up the road from you.
Yeah.
In the Senate half of the inning, we are on the 10th order of business, and we are now considering Senate Amendment 11 to Senate Substitute Amendment 2 to Senate Bill 45. Senate Amendment 11 is the 11th of, at last count, 25 amendments that Senate Democrats are offering to the state budget agreement. All will be shot down in time, and the bill will move on to the Assembly.
Pat, do you miss being in the legislature? on days like this.
I loved it. It was one of my favorite things that I ever did. I miss it very much.
No, I get that. But I mean, some of those sessions where it's just amendment after amendment, and you know nothing's going to pass, and it drags on and on. But
yeah, I always think of Roger Bresky, who represented from way up north. Mm-hmm. And you can't see it on the radio, but he'd make that motion with his finger, wrap it up. He'd always be motioning to Fred Risser or somebody else to just keep the amendments going. We know what's going to happen. Let's just go.
Roll.
God bless you, Roger. Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. He wanted
to get over to the bar with Ellis.
Absolutely. He and Ellis would be over at the end of the park in no time flat. And you know what? They'd sit there and they'd carve out the state budget on a cocktail napkin, and it was better than anything the rest of the legislators could have written up. So that's how it used to work back in the old days, said the guy turned in 61.
But that's a great point. And let's start there, guys. Yesterday, the announcement that Governor Tony Evers had reached this agreement with legislative leaders, a majority of them being Republican, Dianne Hesselbein, the Senate Democratic leader, amongst them, and LaTanya Johnson, also amongst Democrats who are planning on voting yes on this budget. But now, just joint finance passed it. LaTanya Johnson was the only Democrat on the committee to vote yes. The other three Democrats voted no. Now, as Pat said, is into the Senate. What do you make of this, Pat? And the reason I was looking for my phone is because I got some. I'm sorry I didn't have a chance to listen to all the mornings this morning, but maybe you already covered it. But I saw some information from sources today on K-12 public education saying that if this budget passes, that the Eau Claire School District will actually see a decrease in revenue. Meanwhile, DePere actually sees some big increase. There seems to be no equilibrium here when it comes to K-12 public funding in this budget. What do you know?
I have heard the exact same thing and have not looked at, any kind of a comparison myself. If I were, back to sitting on the sitting in the back bench of the Senate chambers, I'd probably be shuffling through those papers right now. But I have definitely been hearing, well, you certainly heard it from all the child care people, that coalition. Mm-hmm. They are very much opposed to what's going on. And as certain, not all, but as certain folks in the K-12 sector look at the numbers, they too are realizing that although there was a big boost in special education reimbursement funding, the overall aspect of state aid still doesn't nearly make up for 15 years of underfunding. Now, nobody was expecting it all to be made up, but there's a lot of people that thought a much better deal could have been won. Could it really? With a Republican legislature and a Democratic governor, I guess all I'd say is it's not to cast cold water on this, but Governor Tim Michaels would give you a different story than the half a loaf that's being offered here.
Trigby, I'm not sure how much you follow the state budget process back here in Wisconsin, but just calling on your days working in the state legislature and for former governors Tommy Thompson and Scott McCallum, this deal that was announced, I mean, it's as close as we're going to get to a bipartisan thing in Wisconsin these days to pass point. I mean, I've literally, you probably have too, I've been in negotiations with Speaker Robin Voss. My former boss, Dale Schultz, was opposed to the mining bill. He tried to negotiate it out, and there comes a point, not just Voss, but other people, any good politician, where there is a red line and they simply say, okay, that's enough, and they walk out. To Pat's point, right. I think that Governor Evers and some of the Democrats did as good as they could under the circumstances, because having no budget, if Voss and the Republicans have taken their ball and gone home and have the same level of funding moving forward in the current budget, child care would have been obliterated, no money, because of the lack of federal funds.
I was reading a story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on the compromise, and to be honest, it seems like everybody is unhappy about pieces of it and happy about other pieces of it, which probably says it's a pretty good compromise. And I think this is a win for Evers. Quite frankly, I think it's a win for the Republican leaders in the legislature too, that they were able to come up with something. And I get that the extremes on either side aren't going to be happy. And there's things that anybody who looks at it wishes that they had that different. But on the whole, right? The UW system went from, it was going to be axed $87 million and ended up with an extra $250 million. So
I mean, to
me, they're having to make hard choices. They
right.
can't. Everybody can't get everything. And the truth of the matter is, I just think it's a very Wisconsin-ish budget with, you know,
I don't disagree with Pat Kreitlow.
Right in the center.
Pat, I was kind of pretty tough on State Representative Francesca Hong yesterday because she was one of a handful of Democrats who were actually not just saying she was a no, but advocating on her social media for constituents around the state to call their Democratic legislators and kill this and vote no. And I called her. I still don't think that's the right thing to do, but I'll step back on myself a little bit, seeing these K-12 education funding. To Trigvy's point, yeah, okay, so not, I'm not sure that saying K-12 education cuts is extreme. I don't think that. And really, the more I look at it, this is almost like a Sophie's Choice bill. It's like, okay, choose. Either get nothing or get something.
Well, that is a way to look at it. And basically, the people who benefit the most from this politically is everybody. Because most Republicans and many Democrats get to vote yes on something that, you know, they think is the best possible compromise given the characters at either end. But now, instead of just three Republicans voting no on this, there's going to be more than three who are going to say, nope, I just can't go along with this. And there's going to be some Democrats that say no, either because they are in such safe districts, they can be upset about things like the school funding, or they're in such purple districts that they feel like they've got to take a stand and vote no for one reason or another. Nothing that occurs off the top of my head. So this is as bipartisan as it gets. And the way that I've summed it up, borrowing from other people, is this is a result of fair maps. Fair maps equals fair budget. By fair budget, I mean not good, not very good, not terrible. Fair is fair. Fair maps gave us a fair budget as opposed to one that would be just ridiculously unfair. If a few voters had switched sides in the gubernatorial election, and that's our theme today, the importance of that election and the importance of that state Supreme Court election on that abortion ruling that I know you'll talk about later on as well. But this is the result of a bipartisan or a very closely divided electorate in the state of Wisconsin.
We're going to talk to Michelle Vasquez here of Planned Parenthood coming up in the next segment, about the Supreme Court decision that was handed down today regarding women's health care and abortion. But Trigvy, before we get to that, just again, your take on this as you look around nationally at the scene. To Pat's point, what's happening in Wisconsin with a Democratic governor holding literally the line, sometimes the line out of veto, and a Republican legislature, is this a kind of a blueprint for the rest of America and the nation to actually get things done?
No, probably not. Because
I love it.
I mean, in purple states where you have a Democrat governor and a Republican legislature, absolutely. But this unfortunate reality is most states now don't have that reality that Wisconsin has. Wisconsin's one of only, I think, three states. It's down to three states that have a Democrat and a Republican in the U.S. Senate.
Yeah.
There was a time when a majority of states had that. So I think Wisconsin is an outlier. That said, it would be good if the rest of the country were more like Wisconsin, where you had that kind of back and flow. And I think one of the things both parties have convinced their bases of is that somehow compromise is a dirty word, when in reality, if you don't have compromise, you basically have zero sum and you get Donald Trump. That's what you get.
Pat Kreitlow, it's your birthday tomorrow. You get the last minute. you can talk about anything you want.
The thing here is that what Democrats can now do is instead of having to have a very terrible budget, they got a budget that is, again, fair. And they can now go back and say, here's how much better it can be next time around if you put us over the top and give us control of the legislature next time around. Draw the contrast, not just looking backward going, oh, we should veto this thing, but looking forward, here's what a budget's going to look like if when you vote for us in 2026.
Sounds good. We're going to come back and talk with Michelle Velasquez on the Supreme Court ruling today, which is going to have a real effect, particularly for women across the state of Wisconsin, what it means going forward, what it means what Planned Parenthood did politically, and what that means moving forward. Don't go anywhere. It's birthday boy Pat Kreitlow, Trigby Olson, and Allball across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Find what you love, love what you find. A Total Wine and More, there's so much waiting for you. Spirits and beer, thousands of wines. Guides in the know when price is so low, it just might blow your mind. You're gonna find what you love and love what you find.
With curbside pickup and delivery available, you'll always find what you love, only at Total Wine and More.
Drink responsibly, B21.
Here's another community reminder from 107.5 WLAK. Ruby's Pantry distributes the second Saturday of each month. And you can check out the schedule at rubyspantry.org. That's rubyspantry.org. Ruby's Pantry, the second Saturday of each month from 7:30 to 9 a.m. And they do that at SMC Limited on Griffin Street in Avery. Another community reminder for you from 107.5 WLAK.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety. CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Tunnel Ball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 22 now, past the hour of 22 o'clock, that is. I'm looking at two different things at the wrong time. Wednesday, July 2nd, 2025. Trigby Olson, Senior Advisor of the Lincoln Project in Washington, D.C. Birthday boy tomorrow, Pat Kreitlow, host of Mornings with Pat Kreitlow every morning from 6 until 9 at Lake Wasota. By the way, Zomers looked up your Wikipedia page. It says former broadcaster. You're very much a broadcaster.
I know. Folks at Wikipedia maybe don't get local radio as well as they should.
So that's going to be your birthday gift from us. We're going to get people
getting
on that.
Getting my career back?
No. Just your Wikipedia page. She needs no help getting her career on track. She joins us via StreamYard here on this very important Wisconsin State Supreme Court decision today from Planned Parenthood. Michelle Velasquez joins us via StreamYard. Michelle, thank you very much for taking the time today on short notice after the Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
It is a pleasure. Let's get right into it. To quote an old friend, not a surprise, nor was it unexpected, I don't think. Wisconsin State Supreme Court now, with a liberal majority, ruled today that under Wisconsin's current law, as it stands, that abortion access will remain legal in this state. But there are some qualifiers to it. Help us walk through what this decision means to Wisconsinites, particularly Wisconsin women today.
Sure, absolutely. So today's decision, I think, is a victory for women in the state, for patients, providers, for public health, and for basic human dignity. this case is absolutely a victory. As you said, I'm not surprised by the outcome because I think that's what the law demanded. We were talking about a law that was written in 1849 in a time when slavery was legal, when women didn't have the right to vote. And the court, I think, rightly decided that all of the new legislation that was passed over the last 40 years took precedent over that 1849 law. And so they came to the right conclusion. So I'm not surprised by the decision. Still, of course, very happy. And it's a victory for people in this state. And there's still a lot of work to be done.
And as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, this is up to 20 or 21 weeks, correct?
Yeah, so the
it's not a complete, it doesn't get us back to Roe, correct?
This actually does get us back to Roe. So
really?
This gets us back to the status quo. So this case doesn't go beyond what abortion access looked like in Wisconsin before the Dobbs decision. This sets us to the status quo. And Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin has actually been providing abortion care since September of 2023. So we resumed that care while this case was still pending. And we did that based on a lower court decision from the Dane County Circuit Court. A little bit of a different reasoning, but essentially the same holding that Wisconsin does not have a criminal abortion ban. So Wisconsin providers can be assured that they won't be facing criminal charges for providing abortion services. They can be assured that they don't have to wait till somebody is on their deathbed to provide the care that they need. But what we don't have in Wisconsin is a recognized state constitutional right. We don't have a statutory right to abortion care. So it is really important that we celebrate today and that we continue this work tomorrow.
Pat?
Yeah, because, again, it made clear in the decision that this is still a matter for the legislature. The legislature can change the rules at will. And as opposed to having a constitutional right. So this is hardly static. This is a case where every election is going to matter. And Michelle, there was that secondary case seeking that constitutional affirmation of abortion rights that the state Supreme Court today decided to dismiss. Was that a troubling aspect of an otherwise bright decision?
Yeah, you know, Planned Parenthood of Wisconsin filed an original action in February of 2024. Because we believe that Wisconsin's constitution has meaning. And we believe that the Wisconsin constitution, which states that there's a right to life and liberty and equal protection, has to have meaning. And that means people have the right to choose whether or not to become a parent. And of course, inherent in that is the right to access abortion care. And so we brought that case before the Wisconsin Supreme Court seeking that acknowledgement of a state constitutional right. So we're disappointed that the court did not ultimately reach a decision in that case and that it dismissed that action. But there's still very much a live question about what Wisconsin's constitution protects when it comes to reproductive freedom. And it is urgent that we continue to get that clarification. And so the courts will ultimately need to answer that question, I think, in one way or another. Of course, there's the potential for a legislative action as well. But given the makeup right now of the Wisconsin legislature, I don't think that we will be seeing a Wisconsin legislature that is passing reproductive freedom, although that a bill was introduced earlier this year that would do just that.
To Pat's point, Michelle, I know you guys have been active, obviously, politically. I would think that Planned Parenthood, the political arm, at least, felt like we got a return for our investment. Now, unlike some people that wanted new congressional maps, who are looking to see if they can get a refund on their campaign contributions. But I think that this is a win for Planned Parenthood. But to Pat's point, does this set up for the next legislative races now with new legislative maps? Are we going to see reproductive rights once again rise to the top in state elections?
Yeah, I mean, I think that with the overturning of Roe, reproductive freedoms, whether it's contraception, abortion, gender-affirming care, all of these rights are really under attack at the federal level. And we're seeing a patchwork of laws and court decisions around the country. So I do think that for the time being, this is likely to be a really salient issue for a lot of people in elections. And again, the need for that constitutional protection is it just cannot be overstated. And that's a way to take this out of the politics. Like, we ultimately need to get healthcare decisions out of politics.
Yeah. Michelle Vasquez, thank you so much for being with us from Planned Parenthood today. I really appreciate your time and helping us understand this very important issue for Wisconsinites all the better. Thank you so much, Michelle. Appreciate you.
Absolutely. Thank you.
You're welcome. Pat, can you come back for a quick after the break?
Yeah.
We got to come back and celebrate Pat a little bit with Trigvy. So don't go anywhere. Farm updates are next from Pam Yonke. It's the All Ball Show across Wisconsin and Civic Media.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Just like your lawn or garden, our Wisconsin cranberry crop loves this weather. I'm Pam Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news on a Wednesday. That's the word we're getting from Allison Johnjack. She's UW-Madison's Extension Cranberry Outreach Specialist. She's keeping an eye on the cranberry crop right now because it is in peak bloom.
Seen peak bloom and kind of moving on through the blossom into fruit set season. And we're seeing... so far this year, surprisingly low insect pressure. We're also seeing a really good blossom set, but we are seeing weather conditions that aren't the pollinators' very favorite weather conditions. So we're hopeful that our pollinators are getting enough work done despite the uncooperative weather for them.
Allison Johnjack, Wisconsin's cranberry outreach specialist and a gal that's keeping her eye on that high-value crop. Remember, if those pollinators cooperate and Wisconsin's got a good cranberry set, then we can look forward to being the top producer of cranberries in the United States for the 21st year.
65 years ago, Bob Steffes built a legacy, one auction at a time. Today, Steffes Group carries on that tradition, delivering trusted service with integrity you expect. From the first conversation to the final bid, we're more than an auction company. We're your partner in sharing your legacy, because here, handshakes still mean something. Visit steffesgroup.com right now for information on auctions in your area, nationwide, and to find a local representative near you. That's steffesgroup.com.
Hey, gut yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
And it may not be a farm bill, but the big, beautiful bill that's currently being debated in Washington, D.C. has some key elements that Wisconsin farmers and commodity groups are keeping an eye on. So far, included in the measure passed by the Senate are updated reference prices that farmers use throughout several different programs, also improved crop insurance coverage, help for livestock producers, and some support for key export programs that agriculture depends on. Then there are the tax benefits that are currently included, with immediate expensing of farm equipment, a small business tax break, an increase in the estate tax exemption, and an improved 45Z clean fuel credit. Now we'll see what happens in discussion at the House. I'm Pam Yonke.
As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
We have a slight chance of an isolated thunderstorm later this afternoon into tonight. Otherwise, mostly sunny today. We'll get to 85 for a high this afternoon. Tonight, down to 64 tomorrow. Mostly sunny with a high of 84. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Outside now, it's 85.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Madam Mayor Satya Rhodes Conway from the fabulous city of Madison.
A lot of people say, I don't like politics. It's all dirty and angry and blah, blah, blah. It's really about caring about your community, finding a way to, like, bring it back to people talking to each other.
Yeah.
About what is important in our place and how do we take care of each other and use the levers of government to do that. That's really what it's about.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
This is your captain. We are going to be experiencing some slight turbulence. Please fasten your... Oh, Hold on. Just got a video of my cat.
Imagine the pilot of an airplane was as confident as you are texting and driving. Seems kind of crazy when you put it like that.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Join us this Wednesday for a special early July 4th episode, digging deep on today's attacks on our freedoms. Defending civil rights isn't optional. It's our shared obligation. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. And I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle.
Welcome back to the Todd Almost Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 35 minutes past the hour at 2 o'clock. That is the story of both Pat Kreitlow and Lukester once in a while as two clowns to the right, jokers to the left, or whichever way it was. And there's Pat Kreitlow stuck in the middle between Trigby and I, the shining star of this segment every week. We appreciate him sticking around a little bit and celebrating Pat Kreitlow's birthday tomorrow. Pat, you're getting an early birthday present from the Brewers right now.
Yeah, big old pile of bologna, I'm telling
No, across many of our stations right now on the network, on the Brewers Radio Network, the Brewers in game one of what has turned out to be today a doubleheader, because last night's game was postponed due to rain. They are, I believe, in the top of the ninth inning, and it is Milwaukee 7 and the Mets 2.
Because of a Joey Ortiz go-ahead grand slam.
How about that?
Run. Yes.
So you got you had Freddie Peralta. I think he is going to get the win if this holds out. And then the Miz in the second game of the doubleheader today. So that's
Did you know the pregame for that starts at 5:35 across several Civic Media radio stations? Knew that.
That's how good Pat Kreitlow is, because he reads the liners. So what are you doing, Pat, for your birthday tomorrow? Do they have fireworks on Lake Wissota? Are you going out in the pontoon? Do you and your wife go over to the Mallard? What do you do?
Well, this year, not much. Last year, Sherry threw a big party for me for my 60th, a big backyard birthday party, which was really nice. And she made clear that was a once-a-decade situation, because she also threw a big backyard party for my 50th birthday. So I'm going to have to somehow schlep around for 9 more years if I want a half-decent party with friends again. So, no, tomorrow is mostly a work day, because you know here, no 3-day weekend goes unpunished.
Exactly.
You have to prepare a show for the holiday. I have a weekend newsletter to put out a day early. Sign up for it at upnorthnewswi.com. I have, all the promo stuff for next week to do. But if I do all that, then I can spend parts of Friday or Saturday or Sunday in my hammock next to the lake, and all will be right with the world.
Look at that. Now, there was talk about having a pre-recorded show tomorrow for this program, and Dahmer's is like, no, that's not happening. Because it was just, it was more work than it was worth with all the prep, all the breaking news.
It's a lot of work, and that's just it. With the breaking news, you don't know what the U.S. House is going to do with the Senate, federal budget bill, and all the other things that could happen. So, no, it wasn't in the cards, and you know what? We'll make up for it next week when you're up here at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair.
We are going to be there. Thank you very much for saying that. It looks like now, tentatively, we are going to be there both Thursday and Friday to have our program.
I threw a coin in the wishing well, and it came true. Now, I threw in the other coin. I'm not seeing Trigvy appearing at the fair here.
Yes. Why? See, Trigvy, think of the fun we could. He was there last year. And he was, remember we had that rigged horse race or whatever it was, the water race?
Yeah, the water race, the amusement park.
Yeah, mine didn't work.
I know.
Yeah, as he's busy, shaking like a guy, waking up from a 3-day bender, his hand is just all over the place, and he's saying it's the gun, it's the problem. I mean, he's crying out rigged election.
Yeah, I've never seen so much consternation in my life.
I was editing for the show that we are playing on the 4th, the River Falls Days show that we're talking about was right after that. Yeah.
So I heard the
part of the show where you guys are complaining about that.
We're playing a River Falls show or part of it on Friday, Trigby, giving River Falls your hometown a shout out. So that'll be nice.
Yeah, that's
All right, boys. Well, people don't tune in to hear us commiserate like three old men all that often. But Pat, in all seriousness, we wish you a happy birthday. Let's talk a little bit more politics. Trigby, you're out there in D.C. I know that you go in and hang out with the boys at the Capitol. No, not really. But going on in terms of this cleared the Senate? Susan Collins somehow mustered up the courage to do more than finally send a very strongly worded letter. She actually went along with Tillis and your old buddy Rand Paul and voted no on this. But yet J.D. Vance got off the couch and cast the tie-breaking vote. And so then it goes over to the House, and now there's very slim margins. People are out of town. Johnson's trying to get people back in. Where is this going to go in the House, do you think?
I mean, I think eventually it will pass. I mean, little Johnson's going to swing around and round up the votes. They're going to fall in line and do it. I do think, you know, I was saying this to somebody else. What is not realized out here is how much of an impact it's going to have in places like Wisconsin on healthcare and rural hospitals. That really is the piece of it that's going to impact people in states that matter.
I couldn't agree more. And I mean, Pat, nobody knows this more than you living in Chippewa Valley, the impact of closing a hospital that serves at least in part rural Wisconsin. Unfortunately, I think that's going to be replicated in Wisconsin and as Trigby said, across the country.
It's a trend that showed no signs of stopping to begin with and is only going to continue. I mean, right now, if you're somewhere between Eau Claire, Chippewa Falls, and Duluth, and Rice Lake is there, but if you are anywhere else in that great big quadrant of Northwest Wisconsin and you go into labor, hope your car's fast, you know, and that so many other smaller hospitals in that region have closed. And for somebody like, say, a Derek Van Orden to say nobody on Medicaid is going to lose their benefits, you're going to watch so many small hospitals in that district be on the knife's edge or closed doors altogether. And at that point, he's going to echo, Mitch McConnell going, oh, well, you know, they'll get over it. Or was it Joni Ernst? Well, they're all going to die anyway. It's a heck of a position to have for somebody that wants to represent rural Wisconsin. Although I think his hypocrisy is exceeded only by Ron Johnson, who said he was firmly against the bill because it's $3 trillion in new debt. And he voted yes, but only after it got to, $3.9 trillion in debt.
Let's get back to Johnson in a second. But first of all, 855-752-4842. I have a question for Pat Trigby. We're talking about this national budget right now. 855-752-4842. Let's go to the phone lines. David, listening via the Civic Media app all the way out in beautiful San Francisco on the West Coast. David, thanks for listening and calling in. What have you got?
Well, I appreciate it. You're talking about this. I was thinking about, you know, for decades, we've been hearing that Social Security's fading, what's good, and, you know, we got to cut back. But they never try to fill it up, and they never invest in filling it up. And if I remember right, in the very beginning days of Social Security, 75 or 80 years ago or so, people were all screaming about, oh, this is money that's going to go straight to D.C. and never come back. And so the way they resolved that was they created 13 different districts in America, and that the Social Security Trust Fund would buy infrastructure bonds, like school district bonds, sewer bond issues, fire district bond issues. And so they would invest in the region with the Social Security money. Well, now where the Republicans refuse to do infrastructure development, The bond issues are non-existent. And so there's no opportunity for Social Security to reinvest in the regions. So you couldn't have a hospital bond issue. You couldn't have clinic bond issues. You couldn't have library bond issues and all sorts of different things. And so all of, you know, all during the 70s and 80s and 90s, the rural areas were drying up because everybody was heading to the big city because there was no work there anymore.
Yeah.
And so filling up Social Security is much smarter. And I would think that the quickest way that we could fill it up is raise the minimum wage and raise it to a number that's valid as opposed to these tiny increments.
Appreciate the call, David. Thank you so much.
Dave, I'm not sure if you meant minimum wage or if you meant the cap on earnings. The cap on earnings for Social Security, because right now that's capped at $176,000. So some people don't make $176,000 all year, so their wages all year long, they pay their 6.2% into Social Security. You take a guy like you don't need an Elon Musk, but plenty of other examples, professional athletes, for example. Some of them make $176,000 by January 10th, and they are all done paying Social Security tax for the rest of the year. Now, I know the argument is that, well, everybody kind of gets the same amount, you know, when they get older. I get that. But if you want this to be solvent for everybody, then you have to raise that cap. And you can raise it to a point where you can completely keep Social Security solvent all the way through. And all those billionaires, and there's how many are there now? 500 plus? All those billionaires will still be billionaires after you increase the cap of $176,000 of income.
Trigvi, all three of us are getting to the age we start thinking about, well, you know, there's going to be a point where I might want to have some of that Social Security. A, will it be around? But all three of us also remember Ronald Reagan and Tip O'Neill, two dynamically opposite people politically, but found a way at the time in the 80s to continue to fund Social Security. Why is this just not seemingly important, these issues like Social Security, Medicaid, to the Republican Party, our former party anymore?
Well, I think there are people that are. I mean, here's the thing. I think there's a compromise to be had. I don't necessarily disagree with Pat when he's saying that the income level has to be raised. I think it's also true, though, you see on the left, people, when they say we've got to raise the age from 65 to 70, that's somehow a cut in people's Social Security. You know, the reality is people are living longer for the most part. So, and it hasn't gone up in an extended period of time. So the reality is, though, I just think the extremes on both sides aren't serious, and the people in the middle who try and come to a reasonable compromise on it get their legs taken out by the people on the extremes. And everybody is going to lose on that.
I don't necessarily disagree with you, but it seems like, I mean, other than Susan Collins, Tillis, who got pushed out by Trump this week in the Senate, and Rand Paul, who just doesn't give a crap, I guess, or wants to spend time on his lawnmower. I mean, Donald Trump is absolutely, there's no extreme. It's just Donald Trump on the right. If you don't go along Donald Trump, that's it. I still think there's some sort of individual voice on the Democratic side.
There should be, and there should be a maverick or two, a John McCain in the Republican Party that stands up for this and says, this is ridiculous. And Tom Tillis was kind of sort of trying on Medicaid, but nobody else. I mean, Susan Collins, but I mean, what? You can't get a read on her. And you're telling me no other Republican? Of course they do. They're nervous as hell about this, going back to their district, knowing what they have just done. But they also know that so many Americans still don't know about all this.
Right.
Because you look at the cable networks, are they covering the biggest transfer of wealth from the middle class to the upper class in history? Are they covering this broad cutting of healthcare security? No, they're covering the Diddy trial.
Right.
So it's a challenge for all of us who actually care.
I'm sorry, that was really funny. The Diddy trial. Yeah, by the way, he basically got off today, which I think is, well, I thought that was part of the reason he was in court.
Hey, no.
Anyway.
He's still facing 15 years in prison, and I hope he gets it all.
Lake Wissota's own Puff Daddy, Pat Kreitlow.
Stop.
Who you can hear him every morning from 6 until 9. Happy birthday, Patrick. We appreciate
you.
Thank you. Talk to you later. See you up north next week. Come on back. Trigvi and I will wrap up this hour. And what's worse, straight ahead? Don't go anywhere. On the All Balls Show on Civic Media.
As Wisconsin is summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Ever since I started the Recombobulation Area, I've written an in-depth breakdown of every new edition of the Marquette University Law School poll. The newest poll asks about a range of topics, whether Tony Evers should run for a third term, where people stand on Donald Trump's economic policies, and a host of issues relating to the state budget. The poll paints a picture of a polarized Wisconsin. Many people are very dug into their partisan camps, which is perhaps to be expected in the most evenly divided state in the nation. But there are a number of issues polled that do have the support of more than two-thirds of Wisconsin voters. Those include extending Medicaid coverage for new moms, legalizing marijuana, making major increases in state aid for special education, providing mental health services in schools, allowing citizen-led ballot initiatives, and banning cell phones in schools. What do most of these issues have in common? They are policies being advanced by Democrats in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government buy-in for the people. ProPublica is reporting an alleged $80,000 disclosure omission by Department of Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem in her federal executive branch disclosure form, an ethics violation. Noem appears to have received a 2023 commission for fundraising for a dark money nonprofit group. ProPublica reporters reviewed 2023 documents suggesting a company Noem registered in Delaware, Ashwood Strategies LLC, took an apparent commission payment of $80,000 for raising money for the American Resolve Policy Fund, a 501c3 nonprofit. Noem did not report the payment on her Executive Branch Personnel Public Financial Disclosure Report filed late last year. Reporting found American Resolve was registered within minutes of the registration of Ashwood Strategies. On paper, American Resolve is registered and managed by a Virginia company, Sage Advisory Group. ProPublica also reports that American Resolve Policy Fund in turn formed America Resolve PAC, supporting Noem in its advertising. In a press statement, Noem's lawyer claims she did not, quote, establish, finance, maintain, or control American Resolve Policy Fund. She was simply a vendor for a nonprofit entity, unquote. She was also serving as governor at the time. We've linked to Noem's federal disclosure form, the ProPublica report, and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Welcome back to the Tattleball Show across Wisconsin. From Lake Superior to Lake Michigan, Green Bay to the Mississippi River, all points in between on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. Todd behind the mic, Trigvy behind the mic out in D.C., Trigvy Olson, Senior Advisor in the Lincoln Project, and Zommers up in the DJ stand here at the World Headquarters in downtown Madison, Wisconsin. Many thanks to Pat Kreitlow. If you see Pat on the street tomorrow, up there in Chippewa Falls, say hi. Say happy birthday, Pat. He's a great guy. We love him. Terry Barr saying, great music choice. So there you go, Trigvy. Terry Barr.
When are we getting Terry Barr on the show?
Oh, she's great.
Terry Barr needs to find a Wednesday to come on.
You realize
next
that
time Pat's she's on also vacation, the let's get Terry Barr.
Terry does everything. She's a Emmy Award, multiple Emmy Award winning journalist. She's also a DJ. She also is a co-host of Max Inc. Radio here on WMDX every Saturday night. They play all kinds of that kind of music. Rocker. It's a great show. So really? Terry knows her rock.
You know, I thought Round and Round by Rat was pretty fitting. Terry Barr might know this. You know, Stephen Percy, a rat. So he's still out on the road. And we went, as you know, we went, my buddies and I, we didn't go to see U2 at the Sphere. We went to see Rat and Night Ranger at the Stratosphere, which was just awesome. And I spent $120 to get us VIP tickets. And we actually watched Night Ranger with Stephen Percy from Rat. And Stephen Percy from Rat looks like he spent his career in Rat.
Yeah, that was
doesn't look so hot.
That was on our, one of our tours last year, and we're in River Falls. And Trigby goes, "You should come along, and you know, you have a lot of fun." I said, "I'd like to, Trigby, but I know you pretty well by now, and I'm like, it ain't gonna be an early evening." And the next morning, Trigby's like, "Yeah, it was probably better you didn't go."
Yeah. I hope my buddies, when we go on the tour this time and we end up in Green Bay, we'll go to the game and they'll have to come over. I mean, Scoop was on the show when we were in River Falls, right?
Like,
he's not the mayor, he's on the school board. I want to talk about this school board thing, though. So Eau Claire is getting cut?
According, if I could find my phone, which I'm going to look for during the break here between the
hours.
What
are they doing?
The state budget report. There are reports that some of the local, some of the state school districts are going to actually see reductions in overall revenue by the state. And others are going to see an increase. So it looks like Eau Claire is going to have at least some cut. So.
Poor Mike.
I know, right? So it's this from the education governor.
Well, this is the thing. Honestly, for all the people listening across the state of Wisconsin, so like being the superintendent of a school, and I don't just say
come
this
up to the mic a little bit more,
I say this because of some other people that I've known throughout my life. Being a superintendent of a school district in Wisconsin is a hard, hard job.
Yeah.
And those people care greatly about kids. They don't get into it. They get all beat up because of what they're being paid or whatever. They didn't get into it for the money. They got into it for the kids. And it's awful. Politics of it. And now the way the funding mechanisms haven't been upgraded. It's honestly amazing anybody wants to do those jobs.
The people, we see this replicated all across the state, as you probably well know. The voters, the taxpayers in the Eau Claire School District just passed a referendum, and they're literally putting in new technology centers in at least one of the middle schools where my brother-in-law teaches. So the voters are investing in their public schools because they get it. And meanwhile, our state legislature in particular, but in this budget, it looks like Eau Claire, places like Eau Claire and others around the state are actually going to see reductions, which is only going to mean more referendums on taxpayers moving down the road.
Yeah, it's crazy.
I don't get it. Terry Barr, by the
it's
way,
it's the law of unintended consequences.
Terry Barr
What's
says,
Terry say?
Trigby, fire when it comes to your music. Look at that.
We got to get Terry Barr on here.
Yes.
And Sommers is going to have to get away from the Pat Kreitlow rock yacht stuff.
Look, tomorrow's his birthday, okay?
Tomorrow's
Honestly,
his
Michael
birthday.
McDonald, Michael McDonald makes me sick.
Oh, my gosh. Be nice.
Yeah, seriously. Nice. What are we going to get some Steely Dan next?
Skunk I like Baxter. Steely Dan.
All right, honestly, I want to go on Terry Barr's show and talk rock and roll. That's what I really want to do.
I know you do. I know you do. He's not joking around, Terry. He would much rather talk
I'm not joking
rock.
Around, Terry. No. We could talk heavy metal.
We go on these Wisconsin great tours, and I'm driving, and Trigby gets off on these tangents, and when he gets off on the rock tangent, I just let him go because I don't have a deep cut when it comes to a classic rock. So I just
do you know how Spotify does that thing? I think I shared it with you guys. At the end of the year, Spotify tells you your most played song.
Oh yeah.
And my daughters laughed so hard when they went through my whole list of songs. It was nuts.
That's fantastic. All right. A couple minutes left here, Trivia. Anything else you want to Packers? Anything else you want to talk about?
You know, it's the slow season for football. I mean, for sports, right? Because there's no Packers. There's baseball. But
By the way, the Brewers won on many of our stations on Civic Media in game one of a doubleheader, 7-2 over the Mets later on tonight. They will take on the Mets again. The Miz, the Brewers phenom.
Is that Milwaukee's minor league team?
What?
They play in the same league as the Twins? No, that's the Brewers.
No, the Brewers are a major league team, Trafe. God. He's so
I know.
Terrible. He's so
I
terrible.
Saw just a bit outside.
Yeah, it's a great movie, by the way. Our friends Kelly Call and Sean Hatt. You can still stream it on Roku.
They still never
Amazon
had anybody
Prime
of the quality
and Apple
of
Plus
Kirby.
TV.
The Brewers never had anyone of Kirby Puckett's ilk, and their greatest player of the
Robin
modern
Yount?
Era is from St. Paul.
Paul so Molitor, but Robin Yount? Yeah. You wouldn't put Robin Yount in the Kirby Puckett category?
Ahead of Kirby Puckett? No way.
I don't know. Moose Haas?
No, I don't
Ted think. Simmons?
Moose Haas. Ted Simmons made his name with the St. Louis Cardinals.
Oh, come on. All right,
and Gorman Thomas.
Are you taking
what
off?
What about that guy?
I love Gorman Thomas.
No, I want to play this or that.
Oh Lord! All right, he's gonna come back and play. What's worse? That's the name of it. Get ready. It involves 4th of July festivities. Not gonna want to miss it. That's straight ahead in hour two. It's Todd. It's Trigby. It's Zomers across Wisconsin, and Terry Barr from afar on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is a special report from ABC News. I'm Michelle Franzen. Jurors returned a split verdict in the trial of Sean Diddy Combs, acquitting him on the most serious charges of sex trafficking and racketeering. But the jury found Combs guilty of prostitution-related charges. ABC's Aaron Katursky is in Lower Manhattan.
All Sean Combs has been convicted of here is transportation for the purposes of prostitution. And those did seem to be the most evident crimes that Sean Combs committed. We heard testimony from the male escorts. The jury heard about the cash that they were paid, and as prosecutors told them, they were not in those hotel rooms for scintillating conversation.
Combs faces up to 20 years in prison. Combs' attorneys now trying to get a bail hearing set for later this afternoon. Legal analyst Brian Buckmeyer on his chances of going free.
I do not believe he's a risk to not come back to court. I think if anything, he is elated.
Combs' family, after the verdict, say they're happy. This is ABC News.